One thing that we did know, all those things were surprises, that Stephanie is in town. She has been serving on the mission field, and she's in town for just about another week. And so she is here, and she's going to be sharing with us. We're her main sending church, and so she's going to take some time to come and share with us about the ministry and the work that God is doing there. So Stephanie, if you can make your way up here. And then, of course, you also heard we've got a chili lunch to meet and greet with Stephanie at the conclusion of our service. Glad to have you here, Stephanie.
You're good.
One day, Paul and the others were on their way to the place of prayer. And on their way, they passed this young slave girl. And she started following them. And she's like, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you how to be saved. These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you how to be saved." You see, this girl, she was a fortune teller. She had a spiritual power to tell the future. And she made her owners a lot of money. So she kept following them day after day, shouting the same thing over and over again until Paul just got really peeved. He had enough, and he turned around, and he said to the spirit controlling the young girl, "I command you, by the authority of Jesus, the promised king, come out of her." And immediately, the spirit left. Well, when her owners found out about this, they were not happy at all. So they grabbed Paul and Silas, and they dragged them before the city officials. And they said, "The city is in this uproar because of these men. They're teaching us things that are contrary to our Roman customs." And so the city officials had been ordered to be stripped and beaten with wooden rods and then thrown in prison. And the jailer was commanded, "Do not let these guys escape by any means." So he took no chances and put them in the inner dungeon and clasped their feet and stopped. Well, around midnight, Paul and Silas singing spiritual songs and praying, and all the other prisoners are listening. And suddenly there's this great earthquake that shook the prison straight down to its foundations, to where all the chains were loosened and all the doors were open. The jailer woke up and he saw this, and he was so scared because he assumed everybody left. And so he drew his sword to kill himself. But Paul was like, "No, don't do it. We're all here. Don't kill yourself." And this brought so much fear to the jailer, so he called for the lights to be turned on and ran down to see Paul's head. He just fell before them. And he brought them out, and he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And he said, "Believe in Jesus. Accept him as the one in control of your life, and you'll be saved, you and your household." And the jailer believed him. He was so excited. And he brought him to his house, and he gave him food, and he cleaned their wounds. And immediately, him and his whole family were given a ceremonial washing. And they ate meal together, and they were just so happy that they believed in God. And the next day, the city officials sent some people to tell the jailer to let the men go. So they went out, and they met with some other believers that they had met with before to encourage them, and then they left. I'm working in Cambodia. I can actually say that. Before, I was scared. They were like, "Be very careful." Where you said, because I'm associated with, in the region where Cambodia and Thailand are the least strict of that region, but like Vietnam, Laos, and Burma, Myanmar are really dangerous. So they were scared that I don't go say anything, but I just trust that nothing will be posted. I'm wearing a Cambodian shirt, so I happen to be in Cambodia. What I just said was, hello, brothers and sisters, and Khmer. I've been studying Khmer about over a year now. I spent eight months learning just that language and learning culture. The story I just did is a story that I just finished working on with my girl. We did it in Khmer, so I couldn't really say that for you, and you guys know what they were saying. So I was like, I'll do it in English. And a set that was already done. We are working to get the gospel to people who don't have a written language or don't read or just prefer to learn orally, like through stories that just grip you. The whole Bible is just one beautiful story pointing to the Lord. And so we're trying to make it so that literally in a block, like, to get to the gospel. So you have to learn to read before you can learn about Jesus. So having kind of like getting to the next step. Maybe eventually we'll learn, but at this point we just want to get them exposed to the gospel. And we're the first team in Cambodia. So we're doing it in the national language, which is Khmer. It's spelled K-H-M-E-R, so it looks like Khmer. So if you have ever seen it, you're like, oh, it's Khmer. That's how they say it that way, so I just copy them. I've been there for 14 months now. I feel like I just was here giving a hello, and see you later. But yeah, it's been really, really good. These stories have been really cool. We've worked with so many different types of people. I started off, my first story was Jesus walking on water. That's what we did. Let me explain outside. I keep trying to jump ahead, but I want to explain everything. We are doing a set of about 40 to 50 stories eventually, but we're right now working on a smaller set, which is about 20 stories from the Bible all over, like Old Testament, prophecies, New Testament, just trying to get a whole overview of the gospel and the reason why we need a Savior, why the prophecies about Him coming and then Him fulfilling those prophecies. And right now we're working on a set of about 20 stories. We're learning just how to do this process because we've never done it before. And we're doing it in the national language. I'm not the one to tell the stories. I help facilitate a Khmer person, a Cambodian, to tell the stories in their own language, using their own culture. As you can tell, some of the words are different in the story I said. Like, ceremonial washing was baptism. The set was made for non-believers who don't, like, have any association with the church. So, like, if I said baptism, they might not understand what that is. And in the set that I did in English, or the one that I just shared, before in the earlier set, they talked about John's baptism and they used ceremonial washing. So they understand, like, you get, like, a whole grasp of it, and it explains itself, it builds on itself. And it's really neat. And we're doing that same thing in Khmer, the language I'm working in. And so, it's really exciting. Like, our theme that we wanted to read through the stories is delivery from fear and assurance of hope. I've been there a little over a year now, but we did culture learning, and I just saw that in this culture, they're very much driven by fear. Like, they're fearful of ghosts, and fearful of their ancestors coming to haunt them, or they never can be at peace because they never know, like, you never know if you're appeasing your ancestors. They're primarily Buddhist or animistic. And so they even have these holidays where you feed your ancestors. They go to the temples and stuff. And, I don't get it because I'm from here, but like for them, it's just like that's their whole life, you know? That's how they function. And so learning from that, and then delivery from fear, and then assurance of hope. They believe in reincarnation, and so we see that they just never know if they do good enough to get to the next part of life. So they don't know if their next life is going to be better or worse. Like, and it's different. There's so much to it, so many layers. But we see that Jesus is our hope. He delivers us from fear. So that's kind of what we've been working on. I've been able to work with different types of people. The first person we worked with, we did the story of Jesus walking on water, because you see how Peter was scared. He started to sink, but then the Lord was here. I don't lie to you now. I'm here. And the assurance is that hope. So we were working on it, and I got to work with a non-Christian who was mine. And she is a house helper for a friend of mine who works with another Christian organization. And at first, before, I was like, why do you have a house helper? It's so weird. Like, clean your own house. I can't find her, but or at least over there. But then it's a wonderful opportunity because these people come to your house for like hours a day, and you just get to pray for them and minister to them, help them financially. It's just a really cool ministry that you never think about. My friend has been praying for this specific girl for a long time. And we're like, would you mind if we worked with her? Can she help tell our stories for us? She's like, yes, please, that'd be awesome. And so we did this story. And as she heard it, she was just like hanging on every word. Like the word was so alive to her. It just blew my mind. And she was like, oh. And when she found out it was a real story, because we showed her a picture of Lake Galilee, like what it looks like now. And we were like, but this isn't it from when it happened, but this is what it looks like, or whatever. And she's like, wait, this is a real story? And like, it just blew her mind. And so it's just so cool to see how it came alive. And because of that, she was like, I want to have faith in the Lord. Like, I keep hearing me, and like, I've seen him providing for me, and I want to believe in him. And now she's been going to church, and she's just cool to see how that's been coming alive. And then I've also been working recently with a believer who has caught this vision, who wants to get the gospel out there closer to. And just to see how these stories that are so powerful that we read over, but as it comes to light, we see how the themes weave in, we see the redemptive nature of all the gospels coming together, or the gospel coming together from all different parts. I just love it. That's kind of where I've been trying to think. We're just working with them. And as a team, I'm with a team of four people. I don't know how four people can be so different. Like, I don't know if like four people can be all over the place, but it's been really cool to see how we worked really hard. It's been a challenge for sure. We work together and we all are interested in different things, so working that together, seeing how God provided in such a random fashion. We live together in an apartment building in the city. I'm in the city. I thought when I signed up for this, I was going to be in the village, like, with nothing, no internet, nothing, like, alone all the time. It wasn't like that. We're in the city because we are doing the national language, so we live with these people. Learn the language, go to the market, talk to the people. We have a little coffee lady we go visit and see how she's doing. And living life in the community in Cambodia. So I've been doing, ride my bike everywhere and like speedy traffic. I don't know. If you have any questions or anything, at the meeting, feel free. I'll answer any questions. I don't really have the time now. I'll be around. I'd love to answer any questions. I'm sure I left stuff out. I always get ahead of myself. But yeah, that's just a little bit about what I've been doing. I'm really just so grateful to have you guys behind me. You have no idea how much it means to know that you guys are here praying for me and partnering with me financially and spiritually and encouraging the packages and the letters and the emails. But it's so great to see the body come together. I know I'm not alone, and that's been like an incredible blessing. So I appreciate you guys so much. I'm going to cry because I love you guys. I just like feel at home again. But thank you so much.
Stephanie, let us have a word of prayer for you. And it's just so amazing how God loves people all over the globe, and he loves them so much that he sends folks like Stephanie and many others who carry the gospel. So let's just right now take just a moment and join our hearts together and pray for Stephanie. Father, we thank you so much for your gospel. Lord, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for the risen Savior. And Lord, we thank you for loving those in Southeast Asia where you have sent Stephanie and so many others. We thank you, Lord, that she is seeing the power of the gospel. We thank you that she is seeing the power of your love, work. And Father, we pray that you would surround her with strength. Lord, we pray that you would surround her with your light. Surround her, Lord, with your truth. So that, Lord, as you tell the wonderful, beautiful stories of your Son and of salvation, that the message would be so crystal clear. Lord, we trust you, depend on you for all of our needs. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Stephanie, for sharing with us. And Stephanie, I don't know if you knew this or not, but Stephanie is an answer to prayer. Because one of the things that I like to pray for is that the Lord call folks from our congregation to the full-time mission field. And so God has called Stephanie to that, so Stephanie is an answer to prayer. And I'm still praying that, by the way, so watch out. But we're thankful for Gitachi and his family as well, who are over there in the Horn of Africa. Well, I wanted to share with you this morning, if you notice the title of the message this morning, it's kind of a strange title. It's called How to Gain Nothing. So who of us would set out wanting to gain nothing? Well, probably none of us would. But what sometimes happens is that we can be busy doing very good things. Yet at the end of the day, we realize that we've not gained anything. And so what is the missing link there? Well, what I want to do is take just a few moments and share with you how God has blessed CBK Baptist Church in 2013. He has blessed us in lots and lots of ways. And I want to share some of those ways in just a moment. Before I do that, I want to share with you something that the Lord has just been working in my life over the past probably 8 weeks or so. You know how when the Lord begins to work, He begins to, through His Word, give you a message, kind of put something on your heart, and then when He does that, it seems like everywhere you turn is that same message. And like everyone you talk to, and they don't know what God's doing in your life, but somehow everything they say seems to confirm what God seems to be doing in your life, and every song you hear on the radio, and everything you read, and all of these kinds of things. Well, it's sort of been like that for probably the past 8 weeks or so. And what that work is it can be summed up in one word, and that is love. Are we as a church loving people? And so what I want to do is I want to share a passage of Scripture with you in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13. Beginning in verse 1, the Bible tells us this. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. So if you want to know how to gain nothing, there it is. Do lots of good things and busy yourself with lots of great stuff, but not have love. Now, some of the ways that God has blessed CBK Baptist Church in this year that we're about to close out, 2013, lots of ways. I want to mention just a couple. First of all, I don't know if you've noticed, but God is doing a great work in individual lives that are in the church. And you can hear it as we talk among each other. We come together and talk, and you can see that God is giving folks in this church a heart and a burden for other people. God is working in families in this church, and it's very, very encouraging. God has blessed this church financially. For the second year, we have had a surplus in our budget. We praise the Lord for that. He has just been very, very good. God has blessed this church in the area of missions. As we mentioned, Stephanie, she's an answer to prayer. She's over in Southeast Asia. She's ministering, and we have the honor and the privilege to be her main sending church. I mean, wow, that's wonderful. That is awesome. Gitachi and his family are over in the Horn of Africa. We have the honor and the privilege to be able to send them, and they go and minister there. Doors in Honduras continue to open, and so we are blessed with wonderful missions there. God has also blessed us in that He's giving a number of folks here a real heart for local missions. Let me give you an example. This last Sunday, as you guys know, last Sunday afternoon, we had a little get-together for some very special people in Fort Mill. It's a group of homeless people And so we were here, and we got to meet a lot of these folks. Wonderful, wonderful people. We were introduced to some ministries that are in Fort Mill, Rock Hill, who reach out to these folks. We met Charlie for one, Skip for one, Kim and her two kids, and many others that we were able to interact with, sit at a table and decorate cookies and have a little present exchange, and it was just so neat. Now, let me tell you an interesting story. The next day after that, Monday, Lindsay and I go out to Walmart, and to go to Walmart on 2 days before Christmas is serious. You have to go. Anyway, Lindsay and I went there, and as we're walking up to Walmart, we go there, and they've got the person who was volunteering with the Salvation Army who's there, and they're ringing the bell. And so we walk up there, and the person who's doing that is dressed in a Santa Claus outfit. As we got a little bit closer, I looked and I thought to myself, that looks like Skip, who's one of the homeless guys that we met just the day before. And since he had the beard and the hat and everything, all I could really see was his eyes. But I thought, that looks like Skip. But I wasn't going to say anything because I didn't want to be wrong. So Lindsay and I went into Walmart. And probably a minute and a half after we got into Walmart, we ran into Kim. Now, Kim was another one of the folks that we had here the night before. Kim was here, and her kids were here, the homeless. She was working with Salvation Army, too. And what was neat is that as soon as Lindsay and I saw Kim and Kim saw us, all three of us just lit up. Because, wow, we know you. And so we talked just a little bit. I said, Kim, I got to ask you, is that Skip out there? She said, yeah, there's Skip out there. Well, Lindsay and I did our shopping. And then we were checking out and we were leaving Walmart. I went over there, walked up to Skip, and I stuck my hand out and I said, hey, Skip, how you doing? And sure enough, he had recognized us too from the day before. But it was so neat to see just that fast a connection between what we did here on Sunday afternoon to the very next day, that we have a relationship that's built with these very special people. And that was just really, really neat. I think we're going to see a lot more of that as we continue to reach out and as we continue to love others. Another way that God has blessed His church in 2013, and we are so very thankful for that, Lord willing. Next month, January, we're going to make our final payment on the land over here. Amen. Praise God for that. So we're going to be completely debt-free on that. And so what we do then is we're going to hit our knees and we're going to seek God and we're going to pray, Lord, this is yours. What do you want to do? So that's exciting. There are so many things that God has blessed us with, many more things than that. But what the Lord has been impressing on my heart is, even in light of all of those things, if we don't have love, it doesn't mean anything. We can do lots of very, very good things. So this year, as we approach 2014, let's let our buzzword be love. For 2014, let's make sure that we are following the commands of Scripture and the example of our Lord and Savior and love. Well, let's look real quickly in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is given to us in the context, and this is kind of interesting, we probably wouldn't have picked this out on our own, but it's in the context of Paul talking about spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, he's talking about spiritual gifts. And then in 1 Corinthians 14, he's talking about spiritual gifts. Well, one of the things we're going to be doing in 2014 is talking a whole lot more about spiritual gifts as we reorganize our ministries around spiritual gifts. So why is it that the Apostle Paul puts love right smack in the middle of his conversation, of his discussion with spiritual gifts? Well, it's very simply this. We can even be exercising a spiritual gift without love. We are in spiritual gifts. The Bible makes clear to us that it must be, whatever the spiritual gift is, must be administered in love. And so we don't have the freedom to take a spiritual gift and just do anything in the world we want. You see, the Scripture gives us our guide, sets our boundaries for it. Let me give you an example. Suppose someone has a gift of administration, planning, details, leadership. They can really pull people together and make something happen and make something click. Well, we are to do that within the bounds that Scripture has given us to be uplifting and unifying to the body of Christ. We are not free to use those gifts in such a way that plans division and causes controversy and such. So if we take that and apply that to other spiritual gifts, each gift must be layered and covered in love. As we go back to Scripture and say, okay, we have this gift. How does the Scripture say I must administer and use this gift? Well, the Bible says there, 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says, if I speak in tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Eloquence was really popular during the day. A large part it still is today. And so Paul is saying here that if he has the ability to speak as the most amazing orator that this world has ever known, and he even takes it to the next level in a way that really begins to drive home the point. If I speak in tongues of men and all of their languages, and of angels, he says. That is just, if I just am able to speak very well, and even if I could speak in these languages, in the words of angels, but have not love, I mean, who is he gone or a clanging cymbal? What love is this that he's speaking about? Well, it's a love that is a self-sacrificing love. It is a self-giving love. It is a selfless love. It is the love that Christ showed us. It is a love that considers other people before ourselves. It is a love that is gracious. It is a love that is patient. It is a love that is kind. It is a love that is giving. It is a love that considers another person before ourselves. It is the love of Christ. I've often been convinced that if we just simply fall in love with Jesus, not only will CUK Baptist change, not only will our homes change, but the community and the world will change. We just fall in love with Jesus. It's a love in which we fall in love with His gospel. The most powerful message that can break the hardest heart of stone. If we can just fall in love with His Word, if we can just fall in love with His church, the body of Christ, which He brings us together in all of our different backgrounds, He brings us together and there's an amazing unity that is there. If we can only love other people in this area, you've read the newspapers and such, and you know that there are lots and lots of neighborhoods that are going to be built in this area. There are thousands of houses, of homes, that are going to be built in this area pretty soon. So we need to be asking ourselves, what do we as a church do there? What can we do? How can we love them? Because each of those homes has people in it who need Jesus. Each person in each of those homes has problems. And if they don't know Christ, they don't know how to deal with their problems. Each one has struggles and difficulties. Maybe trouble raising a child. Maybe trouble in their marriage. Jesus is the answer. What are we going to do? You notice down here in CUK, we've got this huge, beautiful elementary school that is going in. But we need to ask ourselves, you know, it's no coincidence that this is right in our own backyard. So we need to ask ourselves, how can we as a church love them? How can we minister to the kids that will go there, the parents, the teachers, the administrators? What can we as a church do? The Bible says that we must have love, or we're a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. I love music, and one of the music that I really like, I like classical music. Love Bach. And one of the things I like about classical music is you've got all these pieces that just function so well together. So if you go over into the percussion section, and you've got the gong, and you've got the cymbal, and when they are played in the right place, and in the right way, and they're tuned just right, it just flows, and it's perfect, and just it adds to the piece. But if you were to take that gong or that cymbal, and somebody just out of step, out of rhythm, out of tune, just bang, well, it'll destroy an otherwise beautiful piece. See, that's the picture that the Apostle Paul has given us here. It's the same way with love. There could be a beautiful piece of music, but if we don't have love, it's out of order, it's out of step, it's out of time, it's out of rhythm, and it's something that hurts our ears. He goes on to say, but if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries, that is, I know the Scripture so well, and I know the depths of doctrine, and I'm able to teach them. Even so, we do not have love. That means nothing. Okay, well, what if I have this great knowledge? Wonderful, fabulous, incredible knowledge. The Apostle Paul says, but if we do not have love, even with great knowledge, we're nothing. Okay, well, how about this, Apostle Paul? How about faith? I mean, the Bible does say that without faith, it's impossible to please God, right? So, how about if I have just tons and tons and tons of faith? Well, the Bible says, if I have faith, so even as to remove a mountain, but don't have love, I've gained nothing. Okay, well, what if I give myself away? What if I give myself away and give my body away and even give myself over and sacrifice myself? He says, even to be burned. Well, Paul says, once again, if you have not love, then you gain nothing. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, tells us this. Peter says in verse 8, above all, and he's talking about the Holy God. He's talking about submission to authority. He's talking about husbands and wives together. He's talking about stewardship and God's grace. He says in chapter 4, verse 8, above all, keep loving one another earnestly. Of all those great and fabulous, amazing things he says, keep loving one another earnestly. Since love covers a multitude of sins. Well, when you love someone, it causes you. That love causes you to do things for them that you otherwise would not do. When you love someone, it creates there a greater patience that otherwise wouldn't be there. When you love someone, there's the desire to be their servant. And if the love is not there, then we don't so much desire to be their servant, we more desire them to be our servant. We more desire for them to be patient with us. And so when our lives are saturated and covered with love, that covers a multitude of sins. It's almost as if that acts as a stop there, a fence in which where we would have otherwise sinned in a relationship with another person, if we love them, we won't do it. Now, we're all sinners and we all trip and we stumble and such, but love covers a multitude of sins. And so the answer in so many cases is love. Love comes from Christ. Love comes from His Holy Spirit. And so we must come to Him and ask Him to show us how to love, to show us what that means. Let me close with a verse of Scripture in Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. It says this, and it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent. And so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. May our love superabound. May our love overflow. So that we understand and we can see and know the excellencies of Christ and have wisdom and have the knowledge that is necessary, all to the glory of God and His righteousness. So as we get ready to move into 2014, let's look for ways that we can love each other. Let's look for ways we can love our neighbors. Let's look for ways we can love the school down here. Let's look for ways we can begin to love all the neighborhoods that are going to be coming in. Let's look for ways that we can love husbands and wives can reunite and love each other. Let's look for ways that parents can love their children. Let's look for ways that children can love their parents. All of it resting on the love of Christ. May He show us and teach us how to love. Let's pray together. Father, love is a hard lesson. Lord, love seems to hit against our very nature. Father, I pray that You would teach us how to love. Lord, it's not in our nature to put others first. Lord, it's not in our nature to consider other people's needs before our own. Lord, what is in our nature is to look out for ourselves. What is in our nature is to be so busy that we don't have time to love. Lord, what a tool of the devil to busy us so that we don't have time for love. Father, I pray that You would take the love of Christ. Let us love each other, Lord, and that love, as Your Word says, would abound. Let it abound more and more. Lord, what a great testimony to the community. That the community would look at CDK Baptist Church and say, wow, they love each other. Wow, they love that school down the street. Wow, they love that neighborhood and those people and those folks. And Father, I pray that this love would grant us the wisdom and the discernment so that we may know what is excellent. That we may walk in Your ways. Father, I pray this morning that You would remind us of Your great love for us. Lord, energize Your church. Lord, if there's anyone here today who does not know You as their Savior, Lord, would You even now speak so clearly to their hearts that You love them? Doesn't matter what they've done. Doesn't matter how they have failed. It doesn't matter, Lord, that they've rejected You over and over and over again. You are a God of love, grace. Father, would You draw them to You? Would Your light shine in their life? Would they agree with You about their sin, Father? Would they place their faith in the risen Savior? If that is you this morning, my prayer is that you come to God, as the Bible says, to call upon the name of the Lord. Bring all your sins to Him. He loves you. Bring all your doubts to Him. He loves you. All your failures, He loves you. Come to Him and express your faith that He died on the cross for you and rose again from the grave. Father, I pray that You would take this time of invitation, that You would do Your work, that You would have Your way. We pray in Jesus' name.